was quite a big thing, and it's quite recent. So I've shared it with a couple of people, but this is the first time I'm sharing it big time. So I'm going to try and do it as best as I can. And I was just encouraged also by Sonika Kreer's message yesterday afternoon when she said a testimony is an invitation for God to do the same again. And it's not necessarily just a quick recap, because I'm not talking like you know what happened. In December, I had an ectopic pregnancy, and one of my fallopian tubes burst. And what happened was I lost too much blood. I lost like 2.5 or 3 liters blood too quickly, they had to cut me open very quickly and bind it, and I'm fine now. But it was a little bit touch and go because of all the blood loss. There's so many things that happened, even though it was chaos, and it definitely, I'm not saying it was from God, God was still in control. God was in control every step of the way. And I don't have a lot of time, but I am going to, I just want to briefly touch on all the areas where God was just, as we look back now, God was just so in control. And the only scripture I want to leave with you today and share with you is Genesis 50, verse 20, where Joseph has been sold into slavery, but now he's sort of in charge of Pharaoh's house, and his brothers has come back to him, and now their dad has died, and he's rather nervous that now that the dad is dead, he's actually going to come after the brothers because they have wronged him in the past. And the brothers are now trying a rather sly tactic and saying, you know, now that our dad is dead, he said that you must take care of us. And Joseph just showed us his heart, and he said, as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are this day. And that's just exactly what I felt as my testimony. It was a difficult thing to go through, but God uses it for good and for many people to be kept alive, you know, and for many people to say, look, if God came through for Jolene, then he can come through for me. And I just want to encourage you, if you do have a testimony, share it. Even if it is just for one person, maybe you get a mic, you don't need a mic to share a testimony. You can share it with someone at work, someone in your cell, it doesn't matter. And the part of the testimony that maybe God worked through your life might not be the part that helps someone else. So you might think, well, you know, I've now been in a hospital, I had a near-death experience, but that's not at all what the other person is going through, but yet their faith is stirred. So I just want to encourage you, whatever your testimony is, we all have a voice, we all have a testimony, and we should really keep on sharing it. So just a quick recap of what happened. I've got on the sideline, I've got a little business that we make baby bags, and then I sell it to moms. And Richard and I go to Joburg once a year to do the baby expo. So everyone is kids, you know, the Mama Magic Baby Expo. So we go there once a year, and then we have a little stall, and we exhibit, and we sell the bags. So that's why we were in Joburg for that. So that was the first thing, how God just absolutely set up this whole mess to happen in Joburg, because we left both the kids with my parents on the farm in the Free State. So none of the kids, they weren't with us. And, you know, it wasn't ideal that it happened in Joburg. It's never ideal to happen, but it was still perfect, because even if it happened at home in Stellenbosch, we wouldn't have coped with the kids around. It was just too quickly, too much chaos. So God really set it up for us so nicely. And the evening, I was rushed to the emergency ward at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And at 6 o'clock, we were supposed to drive back to the farm, which is about 4 hours' drive. And the doctor said if I had to get to the emergency ward, to the hospital 20 minutes later, it would have been too late. And it was just so perfect how God was in control. And I'm not saying it was his will, but yet he was in control, you know, every step of the way. And there are so many little things. What happened was the morning, that was a Sunday morning, and I was fine at breakfast, no problems. And about lunchtime, I told Richard, I'm not feeling so well. You know, I've got a bit of a pain. It's a little bit sore, but, you know, you've given birth to two kids, so everything's relative when it's it's not that sore. So he asked me, is it that, you know, is it very bad? So I said, no, I'll take a Marpritol too, and I'm sure I'll be fine. Because we're now busy selling bags, and it's only the two of us, and it's busy. So I had a Marpritol or two, and then I started feeling better, but I wasn't feeling great yet. So I told him, you know what, I'm just going to sit down at the food court, because it's only me and him at the stand, so I don't want to sit down there. So you just keep on selling bags, and I'm going to just sit down at the food court and then, you know, I'm sure I'll be fine in a couple of minutes. And then I wasn't fine. I started throwing up and it was very sore. And God sent so many people that I was stuck in the bathroom because now I'm throwing up and I'm realizing, all right, this is not working. And I tried to phone him, but he's obviously busy and doesn't hear the phone. So I couldn't reach him. And as I was in the bathroom, we don't know a lot of people. It's in Joburg. There are thousands of people at these expos. God sent the one girl that we met at the previous expo into the bathroom. And I asked her to just call him and say, look, I'm in trouble. I need a bit of help. And she called him, and then I sat down, and I had more pills, and I started feeling better. I had a bit of Coke, and all is good, and I feel better. And I sent him back, and then I decided, you know what, I actually think I just need to lie down. And I decided I'm going to go, and I just need to get the car keys from him, and then I'm going to lie in the car, and I'm sure by the time we go home, you know, I'll be fine. Now I'm walking to the stall, and I can see him. He's as far as they are now from me. And then I just saw black, and I realized I'm not going to make it to him. This is not happening. And I sat down, and I told the lady at the stall, just call him. There he is. I need that man. And right in that minute or two when she called him, they got back to me. There was a lady, a pregnant lady, that was just at the expo, and she was a doctor. And she had the wisdom, God gave her the wisdom to immediately say, look, it's either ectopic pregnancy or it's an appendix burst. So you really need to get to the hospital. And it was literally minutes that they got me to the medic. They all have these medics at the expo centers. They got me to the medic. The medic also, God gave her supernatural wisdom, saying, look, there's no time to phone an ambulance. It's going to take 20 or 30 minutes. I think it's better that your husband just drives you to the hospital. We got to the hospital, which was literally down the road, but now all our stuff is standing at the expo. So now I'm thinking, what is happening to our bags, the money, everything is lying there. And I asked Richard on the way, because now it's just me and him in the car. I'm lying in the car, and I'm like, what about all our stuff? And he said, you know what? The girl across the stall opposite us, she said she'll carry on. She'll be fine. So I'm like, all right, that's fine. We got to the emergency ward, and I must tell you, that was the first time I realized, all right, okay, I am in trouble. I don't know. Sometimes you have pain, and you think, you know, it's not that bad. It's sore, but, you know, you're young. You think there's nothing wrong with me. You know, I don't have any medical problems, so why worry? But I got to the emergency ward, and I couldn't walk because I was blacking out the whole time. And they put me in a wheelchair, and as hospitals do, they ushered Richard off to fill in a million forms. And I was sitting on my own, and then I just completely blacked out. I passed out. And when I came by, I was on the table, or the bed in the emergency ward, and the people were going crazy. I mean, the sisters were just going crazy. Everyone was putting drips in and I don't know what else. And then I realized, all right, this is God, this is it. This is obviously is serious. And it was amazing. In that moment, I was in a lot of pain. It was very sore, but I just knew I had to call on Jesus. That was the only thing I knew how to do. I mean, I asked him for painkillers, and they wouldn't give me painkillers. So eventually, I just started praying, and I said, God, you need to help me. I didn't pray it nicely like that. I was just crying up, screaming, Jesus, help me. Afterwards, Richard explained to me the reason why they couldn't give me painkillers was because I've lost too much blood. My blood pressure was gone. So they couldn't give me really too much painkillers. They then did a lot of tests to try and determine what the problem was because they saw that I am pregnant. I was only 5 weeks pregnant then. And afterwards, I've read up a little bit about ectopic pregnancies, and it's actually 2% of women has, the ectopic pregnancy occurs in 2% of women. So that's 2 in every 100 girls that fall pregnant. And still, if they fall pregnant, then it's only in the 7th week that the fetus is big enough to actually cause a problem in the tube, whereas I was 5 weeks. So now it was a rare thing, and it was, even if I had been to the doctor or known that I was pregnant, I didn't even know I was pregnant, I would still, they wouldn't have picked it up because it was too early. So that part we knew, it was spiritual. Afterwards, we realized it was a spiritual attack. It was obviously a setup. the doctors did a lot of tests. Then they did a sonar, and that again, God gave the doctors so much wisdom, because they did a sonar, and the lady doing the sonar said, "Look, she can't see, because now they're trying to determine, is the baby in the womb, or is she, you know, is she in the tube? Because if it's in the womb, then they, you know, it depends on what they're going to do, because they don't want to hurt the baby and whatever." And the lady looked on the sonar and she said, "You know, I actually can't see. There's just too much fluid. There's just too much blood in your abdomen. So I can't see anything. I can see there's chaos, but I can't see anything." And God gave her so much wisdom, because she walked out and she told the surgeon, "You know what? You need to cut open. We don't know what it is. You just cut it open." And it wasn't even 20 minutes. The surgeon came and he fetched me in the ward where they were still dressing. They get you ready for theater. Which is all a little procedure that the sisters do. But the doctor came and he fetched me there and they pushed me into theater. And I don't look so pretty anymore, because they cut me all the way from the belly all the way down. But it was literally, the doctor said he cut it open and within 4 minutes he'd closed. He'd cut open and closed the arteries that were bleeding. And when I came by, I was in ICU then for a day and a bit. I didn't quite realize. I just realized I was in a lot of pain and I was still there. But the reaction from Richard, I realized it was serious. And the only thing I told him is, in the whole time, the whole experience, I was never scared of dying. I wasn't afraid of dying. It wasn't something I wasn't scared. I didn't have a physical encounter with Jesus or anything, but I wasn't scared. It wasn't a scary thing to me. The only thing that I knew, the two things that stood out was, I knew I was all right. If I had to face Jesus now, I am in his will today. I'm not enjoying every aspect of my life, but I know I am in his will. So that I felt, it's all right. If I had to stand before the judgment seat, I know I was doing what he has called me to do, and I'm all right in that way. But the other thing that really struck with me is that I said, you know, I'm happy to die. I still want to do a lot of things, but it's fine. If it's my time, it's my time. But my kids, it just makes you realize what is really important, you know. So that night, I was in ICU, and Richard will share a bit about that. That was a bit of a tough night for him, because now the doctors had just told him they don't know if I'm going to make it. And then an hour later, they said, all right, she's fine. You can see her for 10 minutes. And then he had to go out of ICU. And they were so good to us. They gave him a room to stay in the night and whatnot. But still, it was, then they said, no, we'll call you if there's anything urgent. So needless to say, he had a bit of a difficult night. But he'll share about that. But the hospital was so gracious to us. You know, they really set him up. They gave him tea and a biscuit and gave him a room to sleep in. And even our stay, because I stayed for about 4 or 5 days in hospital. And they looked after us so well. And they even looked after him. They carried in a bed for him in my room. They were so good to us. So God was so in the little things. And the kids were fine. They were on the farm. They didn't know what was going on. They were just happy. The little one doesn't know anything. She's 9 months old then. And he's 2.5. And he's just happy to be on the farm with the tractors and the opa. And now and again, he asks, where's my mom? And they say, she's in Joburg. She'll come back, you know. So it was so perfectly set up how God helped us. And yeah, I just want to encourage you, if you are going through a difficult time, you know, maybe it's not a medical, maybe it is a medical situation. Maybe it's a difficult time at work. Maybe it's a difficult time in some relationship at home. I don't know what it is, but, and I don't know, I can't tell you if it is from God or maybe you're positioned wrong or whatever the case may be. God can still make it work together for your good. And he will use it for his glory. And he will give you, like it came through so many times this weekend at Awaken, he will give you a voice. And he will give you a testimony. And it is difficult what we go through, but there will be a testimony. I think it was Christelle or someone said this weekend, every test will turn into a testimony. You must just bite fuss and hang in there and trust God and know. And don't believe the lies of the devil that wants to tell you that, you did something wrong. Or sometimes, I don't think I did anything wrong. I honestly don't think I was out of God's will. I think it was just a test. And sometimes it is something you need to correct in your life. But don't believe the devil when he tells you that it's you and everything is going wrong because of you. You know, sometimes it's a test, and just stick it out. God will give you a testimony, and there will be a platform for you to share his glory. And I'm just going to give it over to Richard. If you want to share your part, I think he's going to share his little bit, and then we're going to end in worship, one or two more songs again. But I just want to encourage you, you know, to hang in there. If you're going through a difficult time, God will use it for his glory, and it will, there will be a testimony.
Jolene tends to downplay actually the seriousness of what she went through. So I'll tell you, both doctors actually told me afterwards, like the main surgeon who actually he's got a practice here at, I think it's this Netcare over here in Bloburg, he just came out and I saw his eyes were big and he said, look, he spoke Afrikaans, ek het daar deurgetrek, maar dit was touch and go, you know. The other guy was a bit more of a grove diamant. He is an English guy. He said, your wife nearly, what did he say? She basically said amper gefrek. That was his words. Your wife nearly croaked now, eh? And I was like, yo, doctor. but, you know, like Jolene said, you know, it came down to 2 minutes. And I think, obviously, we experienced it completely differently. You know, she was in extreme pain and kind of just blacking out 3 or 4 times. You know, and I guess I didn't realize how serious it was because it's just a normal day. You know, I'm supporting her with her business, and you know, you kind of thinking, oh, she's not feeling well. You know, maybe she'll feel better just now, and she just progressively feels worse and worse. And then, but when she passed out at the dome, you know, and I saw kind of her eyes roll back, and I saw this doctor's face that came there, then I realized, okay, this is serious. So then I realized, okay, and then luckily they made the call to, like she said, go to the hospital. But I think I call it the parking lot moment. I had this moment in the parking lot at the hospital where they basically told me to go out of the emergency room because they were all just freaking out. They were shouting, get me a line, get me a line. Everybody's scuttling around there, and I just see her pass out again and her eyes go back. And then I realized, okay, something serious is wrong, when I saw the reaction of the emergency staff. And I've been through one or two rough things in life, but I've never come to a place where I'm that close to 1 hour earlier, you kind of just, life is just going on normally, and the next hour, kind of everything that's precious to you is being threatened. And I call it the question, it is, who are you when everything is hanging by a thread? And sometimes in life, we get to that place where everything's going fine, and a few minutes later, everything that you know in life is hanging by a thread, and you're reduced to a state. And some of you would have been through an experience like that. And when I reflected on this, I thought, let me ask the question, who are you when you're in that moment, when everything is just, it's hanging on a thread? What are you reduced to? Are you reduced to panic? Are you reduced to extreme anxiety? Do you just go quiet? What do you do? Because we all react differently. And I haven't been in a situation like that. So it's interesting for me to reflect on it now and actually think, okay, so how did I react? And the interesting thing is I did 2 things in the emergency ward. The first thing I did in the emergency ward, what everybody's walking around, is I started praying loud in tongues. And they all turned around and they looked at me like that. And I just started praying in tongues. I don't know where the reaction came from, but I started praying in tongues. And I remember Pastor Fred once sharing about somebody that had been in church and they'd backslid and then they walked a rough road and then they actually decided, a guy, he started having thoughts around suicide. And in the end, he decided to do it, and he wanted to jump off a building in Cape Town. And he came and told Pastor Fred the story afterwards. And he says, he was standing on the edge of the building like this, and he was about to jump, his darkest moment on earth. And he says, all of a sudden, after years of backsliding, he started praying in tongues again. He prayed in tongues many years before as a believer. And he says, he was kind of just shook. And the point I'm making is, for some of us, and I'd hope it would be for most of us, when we really reduce down to nothing, we're actually just spirit. And in that moment, I could access something that was beyond the natural circumstance. It was, in the natural, I didn't know how to cope, if I can put it that way. You know, my wife, I mean, my kids can't grow up without a mother. I can't lose, and not like this, you know. Like this freak accident. This can't be happening to me. And so in that moment, I'm reduced to spirit. And I remember about five or six, I was with Pastor Ross Van Niekerk. You guys know Pastor Ross, eh? We were wanting to anoint my place in Pretoria. And we'd gone down to the petrol station. I wanted olive oil. I didn't have oil. We'd just been moving in. And I'd put the olive oil down on the counter, and as I put it down, two guys came in with a gun, and they kind of cocked it. And then they started searching us all like this, and it was only the two of us in the shop and the shop attendants. Then they made us go and lie down at the back by the cool drink at the machines. And they said, okay, lie down with your hands like this on your head. And I remember me and Ross were lying on the floor, and we were looking at each other like this in our eyes, and I didn't know if this guy was going to put a bullet in the back of my head. And it's amazing, we both looked at each other like this in our eyes, and instantly we started praying in tongues. Another example of just where there's extreme threat, that fight or flight moment, or I don't know what the psychologists call it. And we as Christians are reduced to something spiritual. And that's what I want to share. The first point I just wanted to share this morning is, guys, the Holy Spirit is called our helper. The Greek word is the parakletos, the one who comes beside us. And he's the one that is—he's there in thick or thin, you know. He's there at the peak of the mountain, and he's there in the valley, and he's there in your darkest minute, in your darkest seconds. He's there, and we as Christians, we tend to forget about him in the good times, but when it's going haywire, then we, oh God, help, 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 you know. And I just want to encourage you. For me, my experience, what I can testify about, is in my darkest hour yet on this earth, I was reduced to something, and it was the dependency on the Holy Spirit, and he helped me. So that was my first point. The second thing was in the corridor. So now Jolene explained the whole process to you. It's a Sunday afternoon. It's like it's terrible. There's nothing going on in that hospital. So it's like the worst time in the week to get this thing, because it's a ghost town. So now they're phoning around frantically trying to get doctors, sonographers there to come do the sonar, because they don't really know what's wrong. Is it a burst appendix? Is it the ectopic pregnancy? And eventually, it's like 6 o'clock that evening. She's like just going for more. She's like white as a footsusalok. And I mean, her blood pressure was 30 on the operating table. And so they go into the operating room, and now I know, okay, the next few minutes, it's make or break. And again, now I'm in the hospital corridor right in front of the ICU, and God just says to me, start taking spiritual authority over this. So now, again, I'm walking the corridor like this, and there's people walking around me, and I'm praying loud in tongues. And then he says, declare. And I say, you, Jolene, you will not die. You will live. And I declared it. Sorry. Still a bit fresh. And the point is, we as Christians, apart from the gift of our tongue that we can access in the supernatural, we have the power of our words. And that's how, for instance, David defeated Goliath. He didn't defeat him by sword or by spear or by javelin. He defeated him 10 minutes before when he said, today I will give your carcass to the birds of the field, because my God is greater than any threat that you have. And he declared it, and out of his mouth, our tongues are powerful in the spirit. When we start exercising, what we do in the natural with our tongues has influence in the spirit. And I felt God saying, declare in the spirit, declare in the spirit, you shall not die, you shall live. You shall not die, you shall live. And yeah, I mean, guys, you know, for many other people, the story ends differently, you know. Many of them, the doctor comes out, I'm so sorry, you know. You know, apparently this ectopic pregnancy thing, it kills lots of ladies because it's a silent killer. You don't know what's going on because you just start passing out. There's no external bleeding, and it happens so quickly. And I don't know if she shared, you know, hers burst right on her artery. And the doctor says when he opened her up, this thing was just shooting psst, 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 fresh blood into her guts, 2.5 liters of blood just floating around her. And it's it's a miracle, you know, that she's alive. And I praise God, you know, and that's our testimony, you know, that she's alive. And, you know, I'll just be another 5 minutes. She shared about that night. So she goes into the ICU, and they tell me I can't be there. Now I don't know what's going to happen. I go to this little ward. It's where they, you know, gave me a bed. But I tell you, that was the night I didn't want to go to sleep, because I'm so scared I go to sleep and somebody comes and taps me on the shoulder and says, you know, sorry. And so I'm like, God, what do I do? Do I stay awake? Do I intercede the whole night? But it is amazing just how in that moment of, I felt so alone that night. It was like my kids are 3.5 hours away. My wife's, you know, on the deathbed. And now it's just me. And it's just amazing in those times that you can know God in those times as well. You know, in your valley, you know, he's there. And that's what the word says, you know. Though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, even there I prepare a table for you, you know. And it's so funny, I love my tea at night, and this lady comes and brings me little cucumber sandwiches and a cup of tea. I'm like, oh my goodness. God, even in this crazy time, you just come and spoil me with this, you know, this small little thing. And so the first point is, you know, we can take spiritual authority over situations, and we have this gift of the tongues that we can access the supernatural. And the second point is we can know him in the valley. And then the third thing is, I just wanted to share, it's just the power of community. I remember I was fighting in the spirit the whole time, but then her dad got in the car the next morning and he drove up from the farm, from the Free State, and he was there 4 hours later. And I remember we just sat down and we had something to eat. And just having somebody there with me, I was just like, oh, I'm not carrying this burden alone, you know. And just for a moment, then it just felt like, oh, okay, maybe this thing is actually going to turn out all right. And then Pastor Heinrich and his church, Shofar Joburg, came, and they were there in full force, and they were offering to, they brought me biltong, and, you know, they just spoiled us and just looked after us. And the church just came around us like that, and just the support on Facebook and friends, and we've got these little WhatsApp groups going. And I just kind of want the thing that I did in the parking lot as well, when I just felt God saying, just put a SOS on Facebook. And I just said, guys, we're in Joburg, we're at the hospital, I don't know what's going on, but something is wrong, please pray. It's the amazing thing that within seconds you've alerted, I don't know how many friends I have, maybe 1,000 or whatever. You know, you've alerted 1,000 people, and all of a sudden the messages are going, wat fout, weet nie wat fout is nie, maar ons bid, you know. And it's just amazing how when you really need people, when you get into that situation, you actually realize how much you need that prayer support. Like, I was just like, guys, please, WhatsApp groups, just pray. I don't know, I can't carry this alone. Pray, and the guys are just SMSing back, WhatsApping back. We're praying, we're praying, we're covering you, we're praying, we're praying. And that, for me, it was just like, because I know people that have gone through something like this and they don't have that. And one of the biggest wounds they carry afterwards was the fact that nobody was there to support them. And so I just want to encourage you, if you, I'm assuming you're all in this church, but if you know people, or even you're not quite sure if you slotted into community. And those are the three questions I wanted us to respond to, you know. and we'll get that. But are you really connected? Like when you go through something hectic, will those people be there for you? And you'll only find that when you go through something like this, you know, or you go through, you know, another rough experience. But that's basically, you know, what we wanted to share, guys. And I just want to praise God, and I just want to testify, you know, in front of you that I'm thankful for, you know, God just turning a situation around that could have gone really south, that could have, you know, left kids without a mother, you know. And I just praise him. Like Jolene said, he was, even though it was hectic and we made it by minutes, he was always one step ahead. And when we look back, there was this whole sequence of events. I don't know if she shared that. But we could just see God was just one step. Though the devil was coming with this assignment of death, God was just one step ahead, one step, minutes, minutes, minutes. You just had to listen and be obedient. And are we going to have communion now? If they can you hand up the communion? I'm just wanting us to respond to that, you know. What I'm actually wanting us to do is if we can just turn to each other, just where you are in groups of two or three. And I just want us to, while we're having communion, just to respond to these questions, because this is what's real for us. This is what we've been through. So this is what I felt, you know, we could pray around this morning. The first thing is, do you know the Holy Spirit as your helper? Hopefully we all know him. And if there's somebody here that's not been filled with the Holy Spirit, I'd love to pray for you afterwards, because it changed my life. I can't imagine my life as a Christian without the Holy Spirit. But do you know him as your helper? That's what Jesus said. He said, it's better that I go away so that I can send the helper to you. He's called the helper because Jesus knew we would need help. Okay. Do you know the Holy Spirit as your helper? Secondly, can you say that you know him in the valley? And many of you will have had your valley experiences. But there's something that gets built into us when we really, really know him in the valley. In our times of challenges, in our darkest hour, when we know him in that place, there's something, it's like a good friend. If you go through something hectic with a friend that goes through, I went through something hectic with a friend, and I hardly see that friend anymore. But 15 years ago, we at the drop of a hat, we can say, remember when we went through that thing together? That's why army friends, they stay friends forever, or people that go through a doopweek together at a residence. It's because you went through something so hectic together. I'll get Nana, thanks. You went through something so hectic together, and it's the same with God. Thank you, thanks. And so can we say that we know him in the valley? And then lastly, are you really connected? Are you really connected? Are you in a small group? Are you guys all in small groups? Do you have that support structure? Because there's amazing support structures, you know, available through TNS and through Shofar. Are you really connected with your family, with your friends? Maybe somebody is here sitting with a fence in families or a fence in friendships. And I tell you guys, God knew we couldn't do it alone. That's why he gave us families, and that's why